Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Amitai Etzioni, who's the university professor and the director of the Institute for Communitarian Policy Studies at George Washington University. He served as a senior advisor to the White House from 1979 to 1980 and is the author of 24 books, the latest of which include My Brother's Keeper, a memoir, and A Message from Empire to Community, A New Approach to International Relations, and How Patriotic is the Patriot Act? He has an article at the Huffington Post, Freedom of the Press in the Post-Snowden World. Welcome to Background Briefing, Amitai Etzioni.
Thanks for including me.
And did you see the big, much ballyhooed NBC anchor's interview with Edward Snowden?
I read about it in one of the newspapers.
I see. Well, needless to say, in our previous segment, the guest was less than impressed. Do you think that is there anything that you read that indicates to you any new information?
I don't think we should focus on that young man and whatever he did to his country. I think there's some very serious, important issues which we must face. Because on the one hand, there are very, very few people who hold that the nation has no need to keep any secrets. There are some things obviously need to be kept secret. On the other hand, the whole democracy is based on the right to know. And we face, therefore, a very difficult question. Who decides what can be published? Because secrets get leaked to the media all the time, and the American tradition has been, and the court's approval, that the newspapers are, the editors are the final arbitrator, what will harm the republic and what will not. And from my viewpoint, as I detailed in several articles and law reviews, it raises two very different questions. First of all, are these editors, what qualification do they have to render these weighty judgments? Let me be concrete. Recently, one of the secrets leaked was that we succeeded in planting a mall in the headquarters of Al-Qaeda in Yemen. And so what qualification does the editor of Newspaper X to judge if publishing this will or will not harm the country? So that's the first question. But even more difficult question is, there is no licensing of editors. Anybody can say there's an editor. Senator Feinstein recently said she wants to have something which will protect real journalists. Well, how you tell a real journalist from an unreal journalist? And so these are two issues that he discussed. No.
Well, of course, the problem is that so much is classified in government, and much of it probably unnecessary. But on the other hand, there is the tension between the government and the press, which goes back to Jefferson and the Founding Fathers, is perhaps one of the healthiest things about America, isn't it? That's what Jefferson said. You know, if I had to choose between a government and a free press, I'd choose a free press at any time.
That is a very unfortunate statement. I don't care who said it.
Right.
The Secretary of Important said it. I'm sorry. If that would be written in a term paper of one of my students, I would flunk him. So who has such a choice? Who has a choice between the government and the free press? We obviously need both. Come on. That's a kindergarten statement. And so nobody can survive in this day and age without a state and a government, and we must have a free press. So the conversation starts, a serious conversation starts with acknowledging that we face the issue exactly the way you said, there's a tension. But then the question is, when you tilt in one direction or another. Now, you raise a very important point. I completely agree with you. Too much is classified. So one remedy is to declassify more information. And to invest more is costly, by the way. But that will not solve the problem.
Well, no,
at the end of the day, there are still going to be secrets.
Well, and the other point I wanted to make, Amitai Tsioni, is that most of the leaks that you referred to that happen all the time come from the government and from the intelligence world, but they're designed to influence policy and influence the public. They're not doing us a favor.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And sometimes they're partisans. Sometimes they're people who are pissed off. People have all kind of motives for leaking. The question is, though, here's an example. There's an old example, but it's clear and helpful. Early after the Pearl Harbor, the Japanese were using depth bombs to go after our submarines. And they set them at the wrong level. They were exploding too shallowly, and therefore they were never reaching our submarines. Then the Herald Tribune published the fact that the Japanese were setting their depth charges too shallow. They corrected and sunk 10 of our submarines. Should they have published that during the war? I don't think it takes a long analysis to say that we should have less classifications, and among the worst leakers is the government itself. And at the end of the day, we have to have some way of sorting out which stuff should not be published.
Again, I'm speaking with...
The agents should not be published. Ongoing operations should not be published.
Again, I'm speaking with Amitai Tsioni, who's a university professor and director of the Institute for Communitarian Policy Studies at George Washington University. He served as the senior advisor to the White House and is the author of 24 books, the latest of which are My Brother's Keeper, A Memoir and a Message, From Empire to Community, A New Approach to International Relations, and How Patriotic is the Patriot Act. He has an article at the Huffington Post, Freedom of the Press in the Post-Snowden World. Well, clearly, for example, you know, you don't want people publishing a blueprint for an atomic bomb. So the idea that there should be no secrets is sophomoric and quite stupid. But on the other hand, as we pointed out, there's too much classification. So let's get to the case here at hand. In terms of who should have the authority to render the final decision on what to publish when a nation's secrets are delivered like Snowden's cash to a select group of journalists and newspapers and editors?
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that the first step we need is that there is an association of newspaper editors, and they should do what other professions do. And set standards, norms. So the first will have some kind of moral clarity, and they would formulate guidelines and adjust drafted them. As I say, you will not publish things about an ongoing operation. You will not publish the name of agents, of our agents. You will give the government a chance to explain its side. Give them at least 4 hours before you publish something, they can tell you why you should consider not publishing it. That would be my first step. Then, if a publication would proceed anyhow, I would say the Society of Editors should point out that they violated its own norms, and, for instance, I would deny them the credentials to sit in the White House press conferences. So we have to start by having this conversation, because at the moment we have this screaming match where on the one hand the media says we're killing the First Amendment and so on and so on. The government is hiding all these terrible things. On the other hand, the government is saying you undermine national security. That is not a serious conversation, as you said. The serious conversation has to be about boundaries. Now, in the case of the Pentagon Papers, the media was able to show to the court that there was no harm done. So my next step, and that's a more difficult one, would be there should be a court in which the media can go and say, the government claims this is a secret. I want you guys to review that. You're an independent body, and you tell me if that really is the case or the government is just trying to hide something. But if the court would say that this does harm national security, I would say that after the fact, those who publish it should be up for trial.
Well, as you point out in your article at the Huffington Post, Amitai Etzioni, freedom of the press in the post-Snowden world, there was about 10 years ago, a newspaper published the fact that the United States was listening in on cell phone calls to bin Laden's mother. And then immediately those calls stopped. And that was perhaps one of the reasons why it took so long to get him. And more recently, since Snowden revealed that the United States has found ways to tap into unconnected computers, a lot of places have suddenly dried up, like Iran, where they weren't aware that during the night their computers were vulnerable. Just because they were switched off didn't mean that you couldn't get into and find out what was happening there. In fact, in the interview with Brian Williams last night, there was a rather theatrical piece where Williams handed over his cell phone and Edward Snowden was able to say exactly how much could be drained from that cell phone. So you can understand why the press likes these juicy stories. Mm-hmm. But the onus shouldn't be on the press. The press shouldn't be punished for doing their job. The government should be punished for not doing their job in keeping their secrets, surely.
Absolutely. By the way, that is clear cut. In this case, people not only have the elementary duty, they swore. They took an oath to keep their things secret when they take the job. They don't have to take the job. You don't have to go and work for the Defense Department. But you join the Defense Department, you sign a commitment to defend the country by not leaking, and you leak then definitely I should throw the book at you. But then the press makes you into a hero. And that makes it very difficult for a government which, after all, is political, to punish leakers. And then you come to another territory. So the recent fuss was not about no single journalist had been punished for publishing anything. What was the fuss was about the government was trying to find out who leaked things. In this case, the fact a reporter published that we have a mole, we found a way to tap into the most inner circle of North Korea. And you can listening to their conversation. So the government was trying to find out who leaked that, and they couldn't find it on the government end, so they wanted to go to the newspaper and looked at a phone call the newspaper got. And the president went absolutely wild. Well, that's a criminal investigation of a major, major crime. And I don't know why media not as somebody to be jailed, but as somebody's information about a crime should be exempt from a commitment any other citizen has that when they're aware of a crime, that they will help us catch the criminal rather than help hide the criminal.
So, Amitai Etzioni, then, in terms of the idea that the newspaper guild, the Editors Association, should set up some kind of a regime for these kind of circumstances, like the Snowden handling the Snowden leaks. As a journalist, some of my best stuff comes from former intelligence people. Not that they tell you stuff that they they don't break the law. They don't tell you stuff they're not allowed to talk about. But just in general conversation, you get a broader sense of how the world works. You know. Mm-hmm. So, could you put people like that on? Because obviously, you can't have. If a newspaper editor gets a really hot story and it has national security implications, if he calls up any government intelligence agency, they'll immediately say, don't print it. The lives of millions of Americans are at stake. That's just an automatic reflex. So how do you find people that are sophisticated enough to know whether something is really damaging or to national security or just embarrassing to government?
Well, here's an example. After 9/11, we had a commission, a bipartisan commission, in which I think there were nine people chosen from both parties and some independent experts, and they issued a report on 9/11, which I didn't hear anybody, any serious person, challenging or questioning its objectivity and its merit and its profoundness. So we have people, deans of law schools, retired journalists, maybe Jill Abramson, now that she's been kicked out of the New York Times. So we can find major media and major security people in this big country enough to have a panel of nine who will learn all they can about that subject and help us sort out what can be published or not. Publishing, for instance, the fact which Chinese computers we were able to penetrate. What does that add to the public right to know? Mm-hmm. Nothing. How much it damage our security? Immensely. So I don't think it's that difficult to tell, certainly for a panel of senior experts, what really, really is damaging and what the government just finds embarrassing. Surely, if somebody wants to publish that the veterans have to wait 164 days to get treated, we will not consider this something the government can classify.
Well, Amitai Tsioni, I thank you very much for joining us here today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Amitai Tsioni, who's a university professor and the director of the Institute for Communitarian Policy Studies at George Washington University. He served as a senior advisor to the White House and is the author of 24 books, the latest of which is My Brother's Keeper, A Memoir and a Message from Empire to Community, A New Approach to International Relations, and How Patriotic is the Patriot Act. He has an article at the Huffington Post, Freedom of the Press in the Post-Snowden World. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back and go to Brasilia, Brazil's capital, and talk about the upcoming the demonstrations to the upcoming World Cup.